talking with Dr. Todd Baldwin, of course, from Oklahoma State University at the facility in Ardmore, the Biosciences Center.
Institute for Agriculture Biosciences.
Okay, so that was kind of done in cooperation with Noble, right?
Yes. Originally, when it was set up, it was done through the Oklahoma State government, helped support that primarily, and then also some support from Noble as well.
But, of course, now you're working out of there, and you're working with a lot of the summer crops, spring-planted crops, summer crops, if you please, including today you're talking cotton. And you had some updates on some of the things that these guys need to be paying attention to as they deal with their management strategy for this spring and summer.
Yeah, I mean, really, irregardless of the summer crop we're dealing with, whether it be beans or cotton or whatever, having a good residual program up front, right after you plant that cotton or soybeans or whatever the crop is, giving that crop a chance to jump out in front of those weeds helps us tremendously from a competition standpoint. The other thing that we see is with the number of acres that most of our growers are farming, they're not able to get across those in a timely fashion with, say, a post-only program. Mm-hmm. So that pre-emergence gives them a wider window to come back and control some of those weeds that are up, and they can start earlier and get finished on their farms before those weeds get out of control if they don't have that pre up front.
I know what the conventional wisdom has always been: catch the weeds as small as they can, as you can. That gives you better control.
Yeah, and that's definitely the case, especially with our newer technologies. We go back to, say, the start of my career. We could basically, no matter how big the weed was, we could control it with Roundup, or we could put enough applications of Roundup out there to get ourselves out of a bind. That's not necessarily the case, even with these new technologies. Timing is critical, and that's where those pre-emergence herbicides give us more flexibility to make sure that we get them out there in a timely fashion.
You were mentioning resistance. Where are we on resistance of weeds with some of the, you know, including the Roundups of the world?
Well, obviously the biggest problem that we have throughout the state is with Palmer pigweed. Some growers refer to that as careless weed. Basically, we've got resistance issues in pockets throughout the state now with that weed. In some parts of the state, parts of central Oklahoma, and as we get into the northeast, we have populations of that are not only resistant to glyphosate, they're also resistant to ALS herbicides, things like Cadre in peanuts or Classic in soybeans. And then we have had some identification, or at least some thoughts, that we've got some PPO resistance up in the northeastern pocket to things like Valor and those. So that's the biggest one. We also have resistance to glyphosate with tall water hemp, especially, say, in that Miami area. We've got resistance to kochia, to the ALS herbicides, and then we also have some issues with maristail being resistant to several of the classes of herbicides that we deal with, especially Roundup on it as well.
So resistance has been, obviously, maybe at the start of your career we didn't have too much of that, but it seems like that's gotten to be more on the minds of a lot of folks.
Oh, yeah, by far. And I would say if you've got a resistant weed problem, if you don't take care of that, it really doesn't matter what your fertility program is, what your insect program is. It's the number one thing that you have to address. You mentioned early in my career, I think about as a student, there were dealing with a lot of insect resistance back then before some of the new technologies came out, and we always considered weeds wouldn't be as big an issue because we only dealt with one population a year. Well, interestingly enough, that's proven, as Mother Nature again has proven all of us experts wrong again. So it's definitely on the minds of both weed scientists and growers throughout the U.S.
Now, under the category, the I don't know if it's a cliche almost these days, but new technology, we've got some stuff out there that are newer ways to deal with weeds, but we've got to be kind of take care of them and handle them correctly.
Yeah, there's, and again, going back to the start of my career, if you would have ever told me we were going to be spraying 2,4-D and dicamba over cotton and soybeans, I would have thought you were crazy. Well, that shows how much we've improved with the new technologies where we have that ability, and fortunately, it's helping us control some of this resistance to glyphosate. But with the same reason that I thought we'd never see those, we've got to be careful with those, because if they can drift onto susceptible plants. There's a lot of plants that are extremely sensitive to both of those compounds. And so wind plays, weather plays, making sure that we handle those properly, follow the label completely, is very, very important in keeping that technology available to us.
And you're saying that, you know, this is something producers, if they're going to use those new technologies, got to do the drift management.
Oh, they 100% need to, and the label has a lot of good advice that they need to follow. Proper nozzle selection. It has wind speed and wind direction restrictions on it. Temperature inversions. All of those need to come into place, because one little mistake with those particular products could potentially, say, wipe out a neighbor's crop.
And that's bad, and obviously of itself. You mentioned the temper inversion, and you said that's something that maybe a lot of times we don't really even understand or really see it coming.
Yeah, you think about it. When I used to do drift control talks early in my career, I used to always end my presentation with, don't spray a herbicide in a big wind. And we always thought wind was the biggest impact, especially in Oklahoma and Texas, being a big, big issue as far as herbicide drift was concerned. Sure. Unfortunately, what we're seeing is no wind can be even a bigger issue than too much wind, because that herbicide hangs in the air in these temperature inversions and can drift for long distances, and in some distances or direction that we may not even suspect being a problem till it already is. So growers definitely need to be real aware, if there's no wind, that could be even a bigger issue.
As you talk to these companies that are working on the weed issues, trying to find those solutions to the problems we've got out in the country, what's on the horizon? What are you hearing is out there that may be helping us in the next couple of growing seasons?
Well, one of the things that BASF is currently working on, they're working on a technology that's called HPPD resistant, soybeans and cotton both. Which will allow pre-emergence applications of that technology. That would be the products like Balance Flex fits into that category, Callisto, Halix GT, those Huskies, another one of those that's in that class of chemistry. They currently haven't named the herbicide. It's going to be similar to Balance Flex that's used in corn now, but it allowed those products to be applied pre-emergence to cotton and soybeans, which will give us a new residual without potential injury, and then we can follow up with these new technologies. So hopefully we're going to see those in the next 2 to 3 years.
One last question, going back around to that planning. In other words, the guy that's got to really strategize what he's going to do regarding deal with weeds, but he's also got to strategize his crop rotation or his scheduling of crops on that land if he's going to be using a particular chemical, right?
Yes. Some of these new herbicides or herbicides that are available out there from a residual standpoint also have some crop rotation restrictions. So a guy needs to think about not only, you know, because with the current market, you know, guys are very fluid with their cropping plans. So they need to be fluid and think about, you know, if I could potentially roll to wheat, you know, next year, then I may not want to look at that particular product, or if I want to roll the corn next year. So they've got to think about not what their definite plan is, but how that plan could change, and they don't want to allow their herbicide program to reduce their flexibility, especially with the current markets.